I want to talk this morning about feeling trapped. As we talked last week, we shared the fact that we talked about the fact that the devil does not use have a heart traps. That the traps that the enemy sets for us are traps designed to kill and to steal and to destroy, to do damage. The front of the bulletin today has a picture of a maze. And I got thinking this week about people that are feeling trapped in their circumstances. Maybe they can't put a finger on one bad decision or one misstep. But having made decisions that seemed to be the best decisions at the time, walked down a path that seemed to be the best way of doing it at the time, ends a person feeling like they have no hope, that they're out of options. So before we go getting into that, I'd just like to say hi to our summer residents that are at their winter home. I know Jackie just went back down to Texas. Hi, Jackie. Hi, Jim and Kathy. Hi, Andy and Dale. Hope things are going well for each and every one of you. And that the Lord is blessing you and the Lord is using you right where you are. And for anyone else listening online, that Terry and Barb over in Arizona, anyone else listening online, just want to say that God has a plan for your life and God has a purpose for you. And even when it looks like there are no options, God is still opening doors and still making ways. Now, what I wanted for what I thought, and I didn't share with Deb as she was getting ready for the bulletin, what I thought would have been a really cool picture for the front of the bulletin is a Seminole alligator trap. But you're not going to find a lot of pictures of that. Having grown up in the Everglades, I can tell you that a Seminole alligator trap is a bunch of poles set down in the mud. And it kind of is a twisty, turny path. So the alligator can go in to get to the bait, to get to the thing, but cannot back out. And that was what the Seminoles used to use way, 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 way back when. Sometimes it seems like the decisions that we've made, the choices that we've made, have narrowed our options. And sometimes they do. The choices that we make and narrow our options so that we get to the point where we do not seem to have any other options. That feeling trapped. I thought about people who find themselves in their senior years approaching retirement or approaching the end of their working years and realize that there's not much or hardly anything set aside. So that not a lot of options in retirement. Or those who might feel trapped in a job. They really hate the job, but they only know one thing. So they don't know where they would go about doing things differently, how they would go about making other decisions in their lives, how they would go about finding a place where they didn't feel trapped. So these are the kind of thoughts that are running through my mind as I'm preparing the service this week. And I want to start with Proverbs 6, beginning with verse 1. It says, "My son, if you have become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands and pledged for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, deliver yourself. For you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler." Now, people that have gone through Financial Peace University have heard Dave Ramsey quote this, and he's always talking about being in debt, which is indeed one of the options this is. If you've given yourself surety, if you've made a pledge, if you've guaranteed something, if you've given your word, It says in verse 2, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So many times we will make a promise without having thought things all the way through and find ourselves in trouble. I've been there. I assume you have too, because as human beings, we do a lot of things that are very, very similar. Become trapped in our circumstances. Have made a mistake that has future implications and things to hang on to you. But the proverb tells us here is when you realize you've done this, humble yourself. When you realize you've done this, start looking for ways to make it right. Looking for ways to deliver yourself. And so many times we are not able to do this by ourselves. So many times we need God to guide us and direct us. So many times we need to just cry out to the Lord and trust that God is going to open a door. I was reading a thing this morning, and it talked about a study that a marine biologist had done. And in this tank, they had a shark. Didn't list how big the shark was, but they had this shark in this tank. And they would put in bait fish, and of course the shark would go in and attack the bait fish and eat. And then they put in a clear divider. So the shark was on one side, and they would put the bait fish on the other side, and of course the shark would go to attack and hit that divider. Try to get to the fish and just bounce off of that. And it got to the point where the shark wasn't so aggressive in attacking. And then it got to the point finally where the shark would not try it at all because it got tired of hitting that wall, hitting that barrier. And then after a time of this, they went and they removed the barrier. And the shark would no longer even try to get to the bait fish. Now that's animals, but bottom line is, even with people, sometimes we get feeling trapped by our circumstances. We get feeling hopeless that there is no way out. When I was taking one of the classes, finishing up my degree quite a few years ago, and it was a political science class, and we were talking about people who have a mental attitude of poverty. And having the mental attitude of poverty, they can't see a way out. So there's a big difference between being financially poor or being financially destitute, being financially insolvent, having no money, and having an attitude of poverty. Both people have the same financial standing. The difference comes in the attitude and how we deal with it. So I go back to Proverbs. My son, if you have become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth and taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, deliver yourself. For you are come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself and plead with your friend. When we find ourselves trapped and we can't see a way out of our circumstances, keep in mind that our vision is narrow. Our vision is limited by our own experience. But when we reach the point where we realize we cannot do it on our own and cry out to God, God can begin giving us wisdom. God can begin opening doors. God can begin working in circumstances. But it takes humbling ourselves. Isaiah 61, beginning with verse 1. This is a passage that Jesus quoted. Actually, this is a passage that Jesus read in the synagogue at the start of his ministry. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison for those who are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that He may be glorified." Let's take a look at this. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me first off to preach good tidings to the poor, that there is hope. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, those who are at the end of themselves." The Spirit of the Lord sent, in this case, the prophecy of Jesus, but as we're all called to be the Lord's hands and feet delivered to this world, we are called to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. He's anointed each and every one of us with the Spirit of the Lord to make a difference and make an impact in people's lives. But if we can't first off recognize that people feel trapped, people feel helpless, people feel hopeless, if we can't get our mind wrapped around that, it's kind of hard to kick into compassion. We see people making dumb decisions, and I don't know about you, but having made dumb decisions, my advice would be stop making dumb decisions. But if people are feeling trapped and they feel like they have no decisions, they have no options, they have no choices, they have nothing that they can do, then it becomes a... If somebody says stop making dumb decisions, it sounds like more and more condemnation. It doesn't sound like hope. It doesn't sound like good news. It doesn't sound like encouragement. It doesn't sound like healing for the brokenhearted. It doesn't sound like liberty for the captives. It sounds like, boy, you shouldn't have been so stupid. Okay, that real New English translation kicking in. So then the problem becomes we are no longer methods of healing. We are no longer vessels of encouragement. We are no longer people that would strengthen and heal and lift up the brokenhearted and the downtrodden and the lame and the injured. We become those who are add to the issue, add to the problem. We become just another false way in that maze, or just another one of those stakes in the trap. No, you can't go that way because there is no help that way. There is no escape that way. We are called to reach out to people, to preach good tidings to the poor, that God loves you, and that He has a plan for your life, that there is hope in Christ. Does that mean automatically that your financial situation will change? Absolutely not. But if we can get somebody going from being an attitude of poverty to an attitude of hope, then we've taken a huge burden off of them. We have talked about good tidings. We have proclaimed liberty to the captives. When I mentioned that college class I was taking, at the time I could not get my mind around the concept that somebody just couldn't see hope. I didn't understand it. And to be honest, I really don't know when it finally clicked. But I know that in the class, I couldn't get it. But I recognize now, sometime in the last however long it's been since that class, I really don't even know. But sometime in there, it has finally clicked that because of circumstances, sometimes people cannot see a way out and they feel trapped and they don't know which way to turn. But I'm here to tell you that there is always hope. As long as we are alive, then each new day is the day that the Lord has made. Each new day, the tender mercies of the Lord are fresh and new. Each new day is an opportunity to draw close to the Lord. Each new day is an opportunity to open our eyes to see what it is that God has to do. Each new day is an opportunity even to praise the Lord in our storm. Because as we change our attitude, as we change our thought process and instead focus on the Lord, God, I got here because I made a lot of bad decisions. Humble ourselves. Lord, I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know how to get through this. But I know, Father, that You love me. And just like You feed the birds of the air, You're going to take care of me. Just like You clothe the flowers of the field, You're going to take care of me. And as I understand that no matter what the situation is, You are still God over all. You still already promised to cause it to work together for my good. That You're still going to be working in me and working in the situation. That I learn to trust You. That I believe that You are at work. And I know, God, that no matter what it looks like from my perspective, You are the one who sees the end from the beginning. And You've already said that You have a plan for me. That You've already said that You love me. You've already said You will never leave me nor forsake me. So, Father, I just grab on to that. If we get our mind wrapped around that, then we can see God at work. And even find the way out of the trap. Psalm 18, beginning with verse 1. And I generally don't include all of the stuff at the beginning of the Psalms, you know, to the chief musician and this situation. But this one here really kind of caught my attention. Psalm 18 says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hands of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, verse 1, I will love You, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my shield, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol, it's hell, surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I cried out to the Lord. I cried out to my God, and He heard my voice from His temple. And my cry came before Him, even His ears. You remember David? David, who as a young man was anointed to be king. The prophet Samuel told Saul that because of his actions, the kingdom had been taken away from him and given to another. Saul, who got jealous because the people saying Saul has killed his thousands and thousands, and David his ten thousands. Who gave David a wife for the purpose of trapping him. Who, when Saul was brooding and angry, David would play his instrument, play his lyre, harp, whatever. He would play his instrument. And a couple of times Saul would grab his javelin and just throw it at him. Then David ended up running, and Saul and his armies were chasing David over the mountains, hiding in caves. Every place he went, his steps were being dogged. David was in a helpless situation. The king of the land was trying to kill him. And David sang this psalm, gave this psalm to the chief musician on the day that God had delivered him. And he says, I love You, O Lord, my strength. You are my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I trust. David recognized that on his own he could not prevail. On his own he was completely overwhelmed. Even those times when Saul was put right in his grasp, and he said, "I will not lift up my hands against the Lord's anointed. I'm not going to do that." If God wants to take Saul out of the picture, God will have to take Saul out of the picture. I am not going to do that. I am not going to break what I know to be the law. I am not going to do what I know to be wrong to try to deliver myself. I'm going to trust God to deliver me. Sometimes we have to get that attitude. Yes. I've made bad decisions in my life. Each and every one of us can say this. We've made bad decisions in our life. And there have been times when we felt trapped. But still trust that even the feeling trapped, even the bad decisions, God has promised to cause all things to work together for good, to them who love Him, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We quote that scripture, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his mighty hand." And I tell people, if we trust that God is going to direct our steps, and we set out with a heart to trust God and to believe God, even if we're walking in the wrong direction, God is able to turn us around. God is able to set things right. So after David declares in verses 1 through 6 that he cried unto the Lord and the Lord heard him, I'm going to drop down to the same chapter, verse 16, where it says, "He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of the waters, he delivered me from the strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." David says, "I cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard me, and the Lord delivered me." And the Lord didn't just deliver me privately. He delivered me openly. He said, "The enemy confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support." As we put our trust in the Lord, as we share with people the love and grace and mercy of God, as we decide to be the one who would comfort the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives and good news to the poor, as we go out of our way to show God's grace and God's love and God's mercy, God will begin working in people's lives if they hear the word and it begins to take hold in their lives. In Psalm 68, beginning with verse 18, it says, "You have ascended on high, you have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." Selah. Or stop and think about that for a minute. Our God is the God of salvation. To God the Lord belongs escapes from death. When we find ourselves trapped, there is no escape unless we trust God to deliver us. He is our God of salvation. And to God belongs escapes from death. God is the one who gets us out of traps when we find ourselves in it. So we trust that God is the one who, as we humble ourselves, God is the one who is able to, first off, touch our hearts and touch our minds, to give us a new perspective, a different way of looking at things. And with that new perspective and that different way of looking at things, we can see God's hand at work. Sometimes it's going to be a word spoken due season. Sometimes it's going to be some encouragement that you get from somebody else. But still, the word is going to be coming from the Lord. The message we got when Pastor Howard asked us to take over this church, as we were just riding around, talking and listening to the radio, hear the minister on the radio saying, you know what God called you to do? Stop goofing off and do it. He had no clue he was talking to us. As we're riding around the next day, and we hear another minister with another message say exactly the same thing, he had no idea he was talking to us. God is the one who's at work. God is the one who directs our steps. When we find ourselves feeling trapped because of our own decisions that we've made, getting into that maze and taking this turn and that turn, and all of a sudden finding ourselves in the middle of someplace and having no clue where to go or what to do. There's a way out of any maze. You might know it, you might not. The way out of any maze is to pick a side. I generally pick the right side. But pick a side, and every time there's an option, you turn that direction. It doesn't mean it's going to be the quickest way out of the maze, but if you can't see the path, that will get you to where you need to go, no matter where you are in the trap. There is a way out of a trap. When we're feeling trapped, there is a way out. And it may not be quick, and it may not be painless. But we start by first humbling ourselves and seeking the Lord and asking for His guidance. And as we understand that, we can share that with other people as well. Not judging them, not putting them down for having gotten to a trap, because every last one of us has made bad decisions. But recognizing that God is the one who will open doors. And as we humble ourselves before the Lord, to God belongs salvation and escapes from death. Hebrews 2, beginning with verse 1. Writer of Hebrews talking to the believers and says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Notice that there's always that option. You either pay attention to the things of God or you drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression or disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which from the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him, God also bearing witness both in signs, both with signs and wonders and with various miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. Like, God has demonstrated. He has shown us that He is in control. He has shown us that He is God. He has shown us that He answers prayer. He has shown us that He sees the end from the beginning. He has shown us that He loves us. How will we escape if we ignore that? Dropping down to verse 10. For the last passage. For it was fitting for Him, that is Jesus, it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Okay, that was the Father talking about Jesus. For both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one. For which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again I will put my trust in Him. And again, here am I and the children whom God hath given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and to release those who through fear of death were in all their lifetime subject to bondage. What in the world does that say, Andrew? That says that Jesus went through the testings and the trials on this earth. He went through difficult times. He went through the torture. He went through the persecution. And He knows exactly what it's like to live as a human being. But He's not ashamed to call us brethren. He has come to restore that relationship that had been given away in the garden. He has come that we might understand that we are not trapped. Jesus started His ministry saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to declare the acceptable day of the Lord." Jesus started His ministry saying, "God sent me to reach out to people that are trapped. God sent me to people to reach out to people that feel hopeless. God sent me to reach out to people that need help." And that's what He's called each and every one of us to do. So the message, feeling trapped. As I came up with that, as I thought about that, it wasn't necessarily for us. It wasn't necessarily for people who know the Lord. Because prayerfully, we don't feel trapped. We might. I'm not saying absolutely we don't. Prayerfully, we don't feel trapped. But just to remind us that there are people around us who do. We talked about last week about the snares of the enemy. We talked about that steel trap, that leg hold trap that the enemy sets. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There are people all around us that are feeling trapped. Maybe they're feeling trapped in addiction. Maybe they're feeling trapped financially. Maybe they're feeling trapped in a job. Maybe they're just feeling trapped because they don't see any hope. But it is God that opens the doors that no one can close and closes the doors that no one can open. It is God who has sent His people to be an encouragement, to be a help. It is God who has sent people to show His love. So keep your eyes open for those people that are feeling trapped. And if you happen to find one in the mirror, the answer that we heard in Proverbs is the first to humble ourselves and seek the face of the Lord. Humble ourselves and ask for help. But if it's not the person in the mirror, it's the person you happen to run into on the street, then our call and our anointing and our reason for being here is to try to reach out to those. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, an opening of the prison to those who are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." What Jesus said at the start of His ministry, as we are called to be the body of Christ, is the same call that's on each and every one of us. God has sent us to a lost and hurting world. That is our purpose. That is our plan. That is why we are here. And recognizing that, we know that salvation doesn't come from me, it comes from God. Strength doesn't come from me, it comes from God. Encouragement doesn't come from me, it comes from God. So we become the conduit to allow God's love, God's strength, God's anointing, God's blessing to flow through to touch other people's lives. Because there are people around us that are trapped. There are people around us that are in poverty. There are people around us that are hurting or are brokenhearted. There are people around us that feel like there is no hope. So we have been sent to point them to that hope. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And we thank You, Father, that You are at work in us. We thank You, Lord, that You have sent us here for a purpose. Lord, not just for a flash in the moment and a quick confession of sins and that's the end of it. You've sent us here to show Your love, show Your grace, and show Your mercy to the people around us. You've sent us here on a mission, Father, to touch people's lives, to encourage people, and to lead people and display Jesus by our very actions, by our very words, by our very attitude. And Lord, speaking for myself, so many times I've fallen short of that. So many times I look at the situation, and rather than being filled with your compassion, I've been filled with natural wisdom. The wisdom that is from below is first sensual and then self-serving, rather than your wisdom and your guidance. So Lord, help me and help each and every one of us, Father, to have our eyes open to see as you see, to have our ears open to hear as you hear, to have our heart open that we may love as you love. Father, keep us as we leave this place, Lord. Be glorified in all that we are. Make us a reflection of Jesus. Amen.